I title it True Love. The title of the sermon is True Love. And I keep on picturing, whenever I say it, the marriage ceremony in The Princess Bride. Love, true love. So whenever I say true love throughout the sermon, you can count how many times, and if I see smiles on your face, I know where your thoughts are. So we will do that. What's true love? It's an interesting thing. What is it in movies? We have a lot of movies that talk about love. Usually it's romantic love, you know, the girl gets the guy. And this time, the Christmas movies that are going on, a lot of them talk about that, and they're nice and sweet. Some of the newer modern romantic movies are kind of sad because the girl and guy don't get together. It's like they go their separate ways pursuing their dreams. You seen the new movies? I don't know, there's some new movie. Why would you do that? What's the point? You know, that's not true love. Everybody's selfish and wants their own thing, and it just doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, what is true love? What does it mean to love? What does that look like? What does it not look like? Cain. Talked about that last week. Don't go kill someone. If you kill someone, that's not true love. Don't hate someone. Hatred is not love. We need to know what love is, though. We got the opposite. What it's not, what is it? We ended last week on this. True love, the greatest example, is to be like Christ. Be like Christ. Because Christ loves. In fact, later inside John, 1 John, it says God is love. And at Christmas, it's a great time because we get to share love. We share our love for one another. And part of the way we do that, we give gifts. And I love to give gifts. I like getting gifts too. But it's even more fun to give gifts. In fact, my entire giant family tries to get together every Christmas Eve inside one room, which is getting more and more difficult, if at all possible, and open all the gifts one at a time throughout the entire family, you know, because we like to see each other open gifts and talk to each other and be with each other. And it's a neat thing. This year, we've done Zoom before, but everybody is going to be on Zoom in California and every place else. We're going to do a Zoom Christmas Eve get-together. And part of that joy is seeing someone open the gift you gave them because you care about them. Now, my mom and dad have a new grandkid, little Stephen. Most of you know a little bit about little Stephen. He's 2 now. We have been enjoying, all of us this year, getting Stephen toys. Because 2 is a good age. As it gets a little older, it's even better. But 2, you're starting to get into the fun toys. And some of the toys are coming to my house, and I'm not playing with them. I'm wrapping them, putting them up. I got a call from Mom. We need to send the gift to your house. Okay. It may not fit in your car. So I have something huge coming. Very giant. It still hasn't shown up. Pray it gets here. But Mom and Dad want to see little Stephen's face as he goes to the giant box and tries to open the wrapping paper and look at it. Why? Because they love him. They care about him. Right? Christ loves us. And he cares about us. And he gave us a gift. He showed us what true love was. The greatest example ever. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to be in 1 John a little bit, but we're also going to go other places. If you'll turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Because I'd like to tie this also into Christmas. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We've done talking about don't be like Cain. Did that last week. Don't be like Cain. Then, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you that Christ came to earth to die for our sins. Help us to live lives that reflect that love and love others more. Help during this Christmas season, we'll be able to share your love with others. In your name, amen. What is the meaning of Christmas? Ever got that question? I just watched Miracle on 34th Street. Again, I watch it every year. That's not the meaning of Christmas. Santa Claus, you just got to believe in some vague thing. That's not Elf. Elf maybe has the meaning. No, Elf is not the meaning of Christmas. Everybody's seen Elf yet. I'm watching all these Christmas, my favorite Christmas movies, White Christmas, you know, all the favorite Christmas movies, the Santa Claus. Well, we're going to watch them throughout the next couple weeks. And they talk about family. They talk about being together. They talk about a vague thing about believing in something, counting your blessings. But what do Christians celebrate at Christmas? The coming of the Messiah. The coming of Christ. Why? Why do we care that a little baby was born 2,000 years ago in a manger somewhere in the Middle East? Why do we care? Because he came for a purpose. He came for a reason. The baby came to give us the greatest gift ever. The greatest act of love ever done. The greatest sacrifice ever. That baby came to earth purposely to die for me. To lay down his life for mine. That's why he came. That's why he's here. That's the meaning. And all those Christmas movies, they talk about nice things, good things, things I appreciate about Christmas. I love getting together with family. I love the joy there. But the main thing that Christians celebrate, that Christians look at during this time of year, they look at Christ and the reason that he came. He came to die for me. He says this in John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He gives his life for me. When John the Baptist was preaching about Jesus' coming, and he's preaching to all these people, and he sees Jesus, and he says, the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, when we look in the Old Testament, when we were talking about Cain and Abel last week, what were we talking about? Talking about a sacrifice made. And Abel made a sacrifice of a sheep, and God was pleased with that. Why? Because it was a picture. It was a picture that there is a problem in this world. And if you look around, right? If you look around and you see things and you've lived any type of life, you know there is a problem in this world. And that problem is sin. There's sin in this world. And that sin is within me. If you're honest, we do wrong things. Humanity is not good. Humanity does evil. Before World War I, there was a movement that humanity was this great thing. And then World War I happened, and they went, well, I guess we're not that good. And then World War II happened, and we go, wow, we're really not good. there is a problem in this world. And there is a God who is righteous. And we are separated from that God because of our sin. We have turned our back upon God. And we sin. And we do wrong. And we turn away from Him. And humanity as a whole has this problem of sin. And God knew this. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They disobeyed God. They turned their back on Him. And He said, there is a problem here. And He started saying, I'll fix it. There's a fix. And that fix is going to take a sacrifice. And He showed us the picture of that sacrifice all through the Old Testament. It started with Abel sitting there sacrificing that lamb. Then you get to Abraham, and he did the sacrifice. And that whole picture of Isaac and sacrificing the ram. And then that whole picture in Moses in the Passover. And Moses is sitting there saying, let my people go to the Pharaoh. And God eventually says, we're going to do, I want you to make this sacrifice, and I want you to celebrate. It was Passover, and you're going to put blood on the doors. And it's like, why does He paint this picture? Because God is saying, you can't deal with the sin yourself. There has to be a sacrifice, and it's coming. That promise is coming. I'm going to deal with it. And He starts promising them a Messiah, a Savior, who will come and take care of it. And when we celebrate Christmas, we're celebrating that the Messiah has come. As John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. That's the Lamb. That's the coming Lamb. And so when we read 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, when he says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. That's how we know love. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Why did Christ die? Because he loves us. He loves us. We understand that Christ is the greatest example of love. He has shown us something different. He has shown us true love, not self-centeredness, not going after His own. He's shown us love. If we believe in Him, we can have peace with God. We can be a child of God. And John keeps on repeating that over and over again. This is what a child of God looks like. This is what a child of Satan looks like. This is what it means to have fellowship with God. And he gives this greatest example of love. And he says, you're not like Cain. You don't hate. You live differently. You should love. We should love as Christ loved. Giving all. Being willing to die for our fellow Christians. Christ, when he's talking in Matthew 20, he says this, Matthew 20, verse 26, whoever would be greatest among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We should look to serve. We should look to give. We look to share with others, to love others, as Christ loved us. I remember growing up in our household, Christmas was a big thing. We made a big deal about it. Shopping with my dad was fun. Dad would take the kids. Now, it usually takes Faith, or it takes Texana, and they go out or sometimes together, and they shop for Mom. Because Dad, when he shops on his own for Mom, sometimes does funny things. If you've heard stories from Mom, he gets her the crystalware that's not really crystal, and they're just funny stories he has. But he takes the kids. This year, I think he's taking Texana with him, and he's going to go shop for Mom. And watching that, as Dad's going around picking out gifts for my mom, it was an example to me of love. Because he never stayed within budget. And he was so happy when he found something he thought mom would like. And he'd go, yeah, let's get her that. And he's like, no, Dad, you already got the other thing. And I'm like, yeah, well, let's get that too. He loves her. He cares about her. And he wants to give to her. Christ came to give. He is the greatest example of love. And do we follow that example where we are just excited to say, how can I love my fellow Christians more? John 15, verse 12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And it isn't a question of getting anything back. We don't give because we feel better about ourselves even, or want to that warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm bothered by this, being a youth pastor and seeing some of the things that in the next generation, right? next generation, it's a little generation back now, but the kids who grew up, there is a movement that you need to serve, you need to do for others. But the reasoning behind it was, because you want to feel good. No, it's not about you. You give because you love. You care. And yes, you do feel better, and it's like a wonderful thing. But it's not about you. Christ died on the cross for us, giving himself for us. With the church family, it's sometimes hard. We go, well, I like Tom, but I don't like Jim. Tom needs some help. He needs to move something. He can call me up. But if Jim calls me, you're on your own, Jim. I'm sorry. Do we love people in the church based upon who we like? That's the worst parent ever. You got all the five kids, you know. Well, Johnny wasn't good this year, and I don't really like him. He's not getting any gifts. Is that how we love? As a church, we love each other as a family. As Christ loved us. Do you love who deserves it? When Christ died on that cross, he died for you. Did you deserve it? No. No. We're horrible sinners. We have turned our back upon God. We are in rebellion against God, saying, I want my own way. I want to do my own thing. That's humanity. And when Christ died for us, Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God showed his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came to earth and died for us, not because we deserve it, not because we're good enough. He did it because he loves us. It's not Santa. I like Santa. It's a good mythical character. But it's not Santa making a list of who's naughty and nice. Christ didn't go, well, I only die for these people who are nice. And Christ loves us and died for us. While we are still sinners, he took that sin upon himself, made it so we can be right with God through no merit of our own. We're going to do an interesting thing. We're going to do a baptismal service after this. And one of the questions I'll ask, if I remember, it's one of the formulaic questions you usually ask. It's, are you trusting in Christ alone for your salvation? Why do you ask that? Because there's nothing you can do that can save yourself. Salvation is not based upon what you do. It's not based upon getting dunked in water. That's not going to save you. It's not based upon being good enough. It's Christ and His grace alone. I was talking to Jim a couple weeks ago when we had to postpone the baptismal service just in case because Bianca wasn't feeling well. So we decided, you know, let's postpone it. And I said, well, Jim, you can do it. There's nothing wrong about, you know, now we can baptize someone. And he says, well, you know, I may need, you know, the steps involved. And I said, oh, it's no big deal. You just hold them under until their sin's gone. How long does he have to hold them under? No more bubbles. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't cleanse your sin. Only God's grace and His death and His blood shed on the cross can cleanse us from our sin. It is a testimony saying, this is what I believe. And you're telling the world, this is what I believe. That's why I'm being baptized. I want to tell everybody, this is what I believe. Christ's gift was the greatest sacrifice ever. We sometimes forget, Jesus is God. He was dwelling in heaven eternally. He was there. If we read Philippians 2, and we've been through this when we went through Philippians quite a few months ago now, it talks about Christ in heaven and us having the same mind that Christ had. Where it says, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God gave up heaven to come to earth as a tiny little baby in a manger for me. That was his sacrifice. God came to earth to die for me. When we read the Christmas story, this is one of my favorite parts. Turn to Matthew, which we're going to go through this passage. We're going to end a little early this morning so we can do the baptismal service so we don't get you out of here too late. But in the next week at least, maybe a couple weeks, we'll go more through the Christmas story. But Matthew 1:18, I get a little preview here. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Matthew is quoting Isaiah 7 and 8. I love Isaiah 9. You go to Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Emmanuel, God with us. God came to earth for us. The song Tony loves, and I love it too, Mary, Did You Know? this line where it says, Mary, did you know when you kissed the baby, you kissed the face of God? This is the Savior. This is the Lord God incarnate who came to earth. God who loves us. He didn't just tell us about his love. He didn't just say, you know, I love everybody. He acted upon it. He showed us this love. He was born as a baby. He grew up with a purpose to die on that cross for me. True love is not just words. It shows itself in actions. It is a reality. It is truth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's not just words. Not y'all talk. We must love in deed. I think John 3:16, I want it here. Most of you probably know it by heart. What deed did Christ perform? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is why Christ came, to die for us. Because God so loved the world that he gave us his Son. He died for us. That we might have eternal life. He is calling for us to believe. To accept his gift. Can you imagine how sad it would make my parents if they send this giant gift? Which I don't know how I'm going to get in the car. But if I get in the car, get it over to little Stephen's house. And Stephen sat there and he kind of ripped and went, I don't want it. And pushed it over and ran away. It'd break their hearts, little grandparents, right? God gave us Christ, who came to earth and died on the cross for our sins. And the world has rejected him. That gift pushed it away. But I don't want it. We as Christians, we've accepted it. We need to share with the world and say, do you realize the love Christ has given? The salvation, the gift he has presented. We are called on to share that with others, share that love, and the world is called on to accept it. To accept the gift, to believe, to have faith, to turn from their sins and follow Christ. If you're not saved, if you're listening over YouTube, there's a challenge this morning. Realization of who Christ is. Accept him as your Savior. Follow him. Believe in him. Get saved. It's grace alone. As Christians, it is our job to love as Christ loved. In deed and in truth. That's hard. What we're about to do in the next few minutes is to celebrate with some fellow Christians who want to declare that this is what they believe. They are saved, and as a testimony, they want to declare to everyone that, hey, I have accepted Christ as my Savior. I want to be baptized. Baptism doesn't save anyone. It's water. It won't save you. It won't wash any sins off. It is a declaration. They want to say, I follow Jesus. He is my Savior. This is what he did for me. And they want to tell the church family this and the world that. It's a testimony. And so what we're going to do for the next few minutes, Tom is going to come up and lead us in some hymns. And the baptismal candidates will go to the different rooms and prepare for the baptism, and then we'll come up, and if Dave was right, the water will be warm. So I'll get in the water first, I'll test it first, and we're going to have the baptism and just celebrate together what Christ has done and the testimony.